Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor William Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you tuning in today, or maybe you're not a regular listener and you just happen to have the radio on. We'd love to invite you to stay and listen for the next 30 minutes or so, and we hope to give you something that will be interesting and that will be helpful in your day-to-day life. We want to take just a moment and invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. This is a ministry of our church, and we are located on Baird's Creek Road. That is just outside of Boone. You take Highway 105 south and then 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And so we'd love for you to come visit with us. We have our Sunday morning worship service at 11, and then Sunday school, of course, is before that at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school classes for all ages. We do have Vacation Bible School coming up, and I want to take just a moment to tell you about that. A lot of churches have Vacation Bible School throughout the summer. We always try to have ours very early, just as soon as school gets out. And our Vacation Bible School will begin on Sunday night, June 14th, and will go through the Thursday night, the 18th. We will have commencement on the Friday night, the 19th. We're excited about it. We're looking forward to it. And pretty much our whole church gets involved. And we have a lot of people doing a lot of things. And then we also have an adult study class. We'd like to invite you to come out and sit in to our adult class. If you'd like more information on that, you can contact us. Our church phone number is 828-963-4596. If we do not answer, just leave a message. We'll get right back with you. And we'd love for you to come to Vacation Bible School this year. The adult class, I'm going to be teaching on what the Bible says about finances, wealth, just some of the subjects. I don't have a set-in-stone outline, but inheritance, estate planning. What does the Bible say about these things? So just a little bit different. I'll try to pick something every year that it is helpful and interesting, and that will be something our people can take and use. So that's what the Lord has laid on my heart this year for the adults. And then we're just excited about Vacation Bible School. So I wanted to let you know about that. Again, that is June 14th through the 19th. And we'd love to invite you to come out, bring your children. Let us know if we can be a help. 828-963-4596. Just leave a message if nobody's there. That's our church phone number. But when I'm not in the office, it rings at my house. And we're like a lot of families. We don't spend a lot of time at our house. We're usually gone throughout the day and a lot of times in the evening. But we'll try our best to get back to you. Well, we do want to welcome all of our listeners right here on WATA, and then our Saturday broadcast on WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, the Tri-Cities area, and then also on Saturday on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate Brother Lamar Whittemore and the church there in Watertown. What a blessing it is to be on the radio station. Now, today we're going to talk about patriotism. Last week we talked about Americanism, and today we're going to talk about patriotism. And what is the difference between the two? Well, Americanism has specifically to do with America and its institutions, and love of patriotism is talking about being a patriot. You can be a citizen of any country and be a patriot. But of course, we're going to be applying that to America. Now, let me give you a definition for patriotism. And this is out of the Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. And the definition for patriotism is love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. And so a lot of things we could say about patriotism. And I want to read part of that again. The passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Now, just because a person lives in America does not make them patriotic. You can live here and actually be very unpatriotic. Just because a person works for the government or is elected to public office, that does not make them a patriot, or they may or may not be patriotic. A person could serve in the military. A person could be an officer in the military and yet be unpatriotic. You could have a school teacher in a public school, in a private school, in a college, university, and them have an influence over thousands of young people, but be unpatriotic. You could sit on the Supreme Court or be sitting in the Oval Office as the President of the United States and be unpatriotic. If the definition of a patriot or being having patriotism is a passion to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity, if that's the definition and that's the standard we would go by, then it would be very possible to live in our country, be involved in the highest, most powerful institutions there are in the land, and not do that. Not have a vigor of keeping the laws, the institutions as they are. So patriotism, that's what we're going to look at today. There are many examples from our history that we could give today of patriots, people that are remembered and recognized as being great patriots, great lovers of our country, defenders from invasion, protectors of laws and rights. Lots of people, all of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were considered to be patriots, patriotic. George Washington, great patriot. You think about some of our early presidents. Think about the midnight ride of Paul Revere and the militiamen that fought in the different battles, the shot heard around the world. And I mean, on and on we could go. We could go down through our history, talk about different people. Andrew Jackson, Douglas MacArthur. He is one of my favorite. He's one of my all-time favorite generals. And one thing I love about Douglas MacArthur is that he had the attitude, if we're going to go to war, let's win it as soon as possible and not drag the thing out. And we live in a day and a time of perpetual warfare. We're not for warfare. We're not pro-warfare. We realize that sometimes you have to go to war. But if you have to go to war, win it by all means and get out of it and go on. But we are constantly, decades upon decades, fighting in different places around the world. Douglas MacArthur was fired, in fact, by Eisenhower because he had a different way of looking at going to war than the administration did. And he said, if we're going to be in it, let's win it and get it over with. Well, he was considered and is today a great patriot. There's John Birch and the John Birch Society even today, and how he was very opposed to communism and its influence in our country, and on we could go. and talk about great patriots in our nation's history. But today, in 2015, being a patriot or to be labeled as a patriot is something that'll get you scrutinized. It'll get you labeled, many times labeled by our own government as not a friend of the country, but an enemy of the country. It's almost as if being patriotic or being a patriot is viewed as being a bad thing. Being considered a patriot many times will get you labeled. It will get you watched by the NSA, by the FBI, by the powers that be. If you get labeled as being a patriot, it is being reframed as a bad thing. But I say today that being patriotic is a good thing. And America does not need less patriots. We need more patriots. When we're talking about the historical definition of the word, somebody that loves country, wants to serve country, wants to defend and preserve our rights, our laws, our institutions, that is a high and a holy thing. As far as I'm concerned, we need more patriots in America. Now, let me say, nobody cares if you put on a patriotic flag every once in a while, and if you wave the flag, if you eat hot dogs and apple pie and watch baseball and go to a 4th of July parade, if you say God bless America and wave a flag, that doesn't qualify as being patriotic. Now, there's a lot of patriotic symbolism in our country. There's a lot of rallying around the flag, but that is not the same as being a patriot or having patriotism, being compelled by patriotism. There is a difference. Nobody cares if you put up a flag on your house. That's neither here nor there. What we are talking about today is if you begin to speak about the Constitution of the United States of America, and there's some of our leaders give it lip service, and then there are others that actually, believe it or not, they want to follow the Constitution. They want to get back to the Constitution. I heard a announcement just in the past few days, and I don't know anything about him at all, so I'm not going to say who and when and where, but the gentleman starting to run for Attorney General for North Carolina, and that was sort of his kickoff, was yesterday. And he said, and I just heard a little news piece, but he was talking about that we need an Attorney General that'll stand up for the rights of the people, that will, you know, observe the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and he's talking about how important these things. Some do not believe the same way. But if you talk about the Constitution, if you talk about the Bill of Rights and really mean it, I mean, if you speak up for the preservation of the Second Amendment, for example, that we have as a free people the right to keep and bear arms, that is patriotic. Many would do away with that. Many would do away with protecting our borders. Many would do away with protecting your right to privacy, your right against unreasonable search and seizure, as we find in the Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment. So there are many that wanted to extend the Patriot Act. Maybe you heard about that in the past few weeks. The Patriot Act was instituted mainly by the Republicans after 9/11. But the Patriot Act is one of the most unpatriotic acts that has ever been passed by our Congress. And it basically legalized the government spying on you, taking your money. I mean, all kinds of things. Very unpatriotic. So some of them wanted to let it expire. And it's been extended every year, every time it's come up. And it's funny how it's labeled one thing, but it's actually anti-patriotic. So many examples we could give, but America needs more patriots, not less patriots. America needs more patriots and less Democrats and Republicans, and more patriotic people and less, I'm MSNBC or I'm Fox News. These things are causing a great deal of division in our country and killing our patriotism. Patriot, the word itself, and we're going to read some verses here in the Bible in just a minute, but we're talking about the word patriot or patriotism. It's a very interesting word, and I love to study words. What they mean is important, but their origin, the root of the word, where did it come from? What does it mean? The word patriot comes from pater, P-A-T-E-R, which means father. That's the word. The word patriot comes from the same word, father. Just like M-A-T-E-R comes mother, matrimony. In order to have matrimony, you have to have a mother. You have to be able to reproduce. And father, pater, patrimony, patriarch refers to the father. And so patriot comes from father or patriarch, which a patriarch, we talk about the patriarchs in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob maybe are considered many times as being the patriarchs. Well, what does that mean? That means they're the father. They are the leaders or founders of a family. That's what that means. So we recognize when we're talking about being patriotic or patriotism, we recognize where we came from and how we got here. Now, if you study the history of America, one of the first things we ought to do is go back and point to our founding fathers. When we're talking about the founding fathers, we're talking about those that fought in the American Revolutionary War, that gave us the Declaration of Independence, that gave us the Constitution, that gave us the Bill of Rights. We talk about the framers. We talk about the founders. We talk about our founding fathers. But if you study about our founding fathers, what you will find out is that they will point you to the founding father with a capital F. And what I'm talking about there, they will point you to the God of the Bible. They will point you to the Creator. Now, just some quick examples we could give of that. We go to the Declaration of Independence, and in part, it talks about the laws of nature and of nature's God. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They said, we have rights because it is obvious, and that's what it means to be self-evident. They said, we have rights because it is obvious that God has created us all and given all men these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we might point to them, but they point to Him. They point to the God of the Bible as being their Creator, as being their God. We find that in our nation's founding documents, which the first one would be the Mayflower Compact, when the Pilgrims came over and they missed Virginia by about 1,000 miles, I'm guessing there, but when they landed at Plymouth Rock, and they had to come up with a form of government, and they started out and they said, in ye name of God, amen. America's first political document is the Mayflower Compact, and it begins in the name of God and for the glory and for the proclamation or promulgation of the gospel. That's America's first founding document. So we find the Lord, we find God, we find the Creator in our documents. We find the Creator, we find the Lord in our songs. We point to them, they point to Him. They point to the Lord. That's the point that I'm making about patriotism. If you really study it out, it is a dedication to the Father. It's pointing to the Father. our documents, our songs. I notice a lot of the ballparks, when it comes to the seventh inning stretch, they'll have somebody come out and they will sing "God Bless America." And I always like to watch that. I enjoy that part of it. I was thinking about the song this morning, "My Country 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty." Our Father's God, to Thee we sing, author of liberty, and on. We could point to our songs. We could point to our pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our pledge mentions God in it. Our monuments all throughout this land point to the Bible. They point to the Ten Commandments. They point to our founder as a nation. I was reading a story last night to my 7-year-old, and we're reading through a little book, and it had a story in there about the Liberty Bell. And of course, that's something I've studied and I've talked about. And every time we come on the air, we quote part of Leviticus 25, verse number 10, where it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse number 10. That is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. And it told in that story about the history of the Liberty Bell and how it came to, they ordered it from England. It came over here. They tried it. It cracked. They fixed it. They tried it again. It cracked. They fixed it. I did not realize how many times it had cracked. But after during the American Revolutionary War, they had to hide all the bells so the British wouldn't come and destroy everything. And then after, they brought them back, hung it in the tower, and of course, it cracked again. And it told about how the men brought it down, put it on a stand, and that people would come from all over the United States and the world and view the Liberty Bell. And America is associated with liberty, and that liberty is... That liberty comes from, they attribute it to the God of the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. It's on our monuments. It is our nation's motto. It's on all of our money. In God we trust. They thought so much of the Lord that they put it on our money. Made it our national motto. In God we trust. So on and on we could go talking about this and pointing to our history. So realize it or not, patriotism and being patriotic is tied in. The word itself is tied in with giving honor unto the Father that made us, that created us, that gave us life. Patriotism and patriarch and patrimony and all those words are all tied in together. Very, very interesting. Well, on the other hand, we find in America the opposite of that. We find that there is many things that could be labeled as unpatriotic. And what we find when we find that which we label unpatriotic, we find a rejection of all the things that have made us great. We find in our land today there's a great many that would reject our history. They don't want to attribute and say that God has made us great or that God has blessed America. They want to do away with our documents. They want to do away with our rights. They want to do away with our songs. They want to do away with our pledge. There's many they want to take under God out of the pledge. They'd like to do away with our monuments. Look at all the different courthouses and lawsuits over the past several years when you had a courthouse that had the Ten Commandments displayed or something like that, a cross displayed in public. There's always an outcry from a minority that seems to have great power and influence, but they want to do away with our monuments. They want to do away with our motto, "In God we trust." Anything that points to the Bible, to prayer, to God, to Jesus Christ is under attack. And there's always a movement to remove that from the public eye. And that is considered by most people to be unpatriotic. I want to read some scripture before we close today. And actually, I'm going to pick this up again next week talking about patriotism. But I want to read out of Psalms 137. Psalms 137 in verse number 1. The Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now you say, what in the world has that got to do with patriotism? Let me give just a little background, and I'll be able to say just a little bit about it. But this is a psalm or a song from the captivity period. And this is actually the thoughts and feelings of what I would call a band of patriots. Actually, those that this song is talking about were POWs. They were prisoners of war. They had been carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And in Psalms 137, there are many lessons on what it means to be patriotic. They were very, very patriotic, even though they'd been carried away into a strange land. And I'll just say this quickly today about these patriots in Psalms 137. The patriot remembers. And they said in verse number 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. And so they were thinking about back to their homeland. They said in verse number 6, if I do not remember thee, talking about their homeland, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. There's a lot of remembering that is going on in this short chapter in the book of Psalms. But you have to remember that they were in captivity, and Jerusalem had been destroyed, and their army had been defeated, and their land lay desolate. The book of Lamentations, which Jeremiah the prophet wrote, describes what happened during the Babylonian captivity. Lamentations 1 and 1, the Bible said, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? Has she become a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How is she become tributary? To become tributary means to be, to have to pay tribute to a conquering nation. And so during the Babylonian captivity, things were bad. But they remembered Zion. And we just had Memorial Day, Flag Days coming up in the next few weeks, couple of weeks, June 14th, Independence Day, Constitution Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, all of these things in our society say, remember, remember, remember how we got here. Remember where we come from. A patriot remembers our nation, our history, our heritage, our blessings, and so we need some more patriots. Take these opportunities to tell somebody and remind somebody how the Lord has truly blessed our nation. Well, we see our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate the opportunity to come this way with the blessings of liberty. I'll continue this next week, Lord willing. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. You have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Rent Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.